Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, November 17th. And today our guest tonight is Eva Jane Bunkley. She's the creator of the Makeup Bullet. But before we speak with Eva, I just want to remind you that our call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. And I'm going to turn it over to my sister, Denise, who has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. I won't keep you long on the beauty news. Just some quick reminders. The Makeup Show New York City is having their holiday pop-up shop December 7th and 8th at the Metropolitan Pavilion in New York City. You can go to their website for more information. And also the PMAC, the Professional Makeup Artist Conference, held in Atlanta, Georgia, will happen again next year, October 18th and 19th, so it won't be in November this time. It'll be October 18th and 19th, 2014. And speaking of PMAC, since we have Eva on tonight, Eva, do you have any quick words about the conference this weekend?
Whew. The conference was simply amazing. Uh-huh. I am just so elated and happy for Gwyneth Mosby, who I have known for many, many years and was the first makeup artist I ever heard of when I moved to Atlanta back in 1993. And she's just been the most wonderful person through the year. So I'm so happy and elated of how well the show turned out, how smooth everything ran, the number of vendors that showed up to support, and, of course, the beauty industry here in Atlanta and all of the pros and the lovers of all things beautiful who showed up to support and to attend. And it was just truly a remarkable event, and I'm so glad it's here in Atlanta.
It really was amazing. I mean, I really didn't have any expectations of how it would turn out, especially being the first one. But, I mean, it was a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it.
I mean, you had a chance to kind of walk around to, you know, to check out all the vendors without feeling like you were so overwhelmed because there were so many people there.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, it was a wonderful kind of inaugural event, but as we know, anything good like this, it's just going to grow, and as the word spreads about how wonderful it was, people are going to be upset that they missed it, and definitely turn up next year. So, yeah, we need to have enjoyed how good it was to just almost be able to meet pretty much everybody that was there to a certain degree, or at least see everybody that was there.
Exactly.
At least, you know, catch a glance, even if you weren't able to, you know, physically meet them. There's one artist that we both had remarked to Gwyneth that, oh, I miss such and such, and he said, oh, I miss her. So hopefully I will get to connect at one point. But, man, I tell you, it was like the people that you are a degree away from in the makeup community here, a lot of those people I got to meet. And they're like, oh, I know such and such. I work with them.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, that's a great friend. So yeah, it was wonderful. It was warm. Everybody was so inviting. And it was lovely because, you know, lots of times our community, we can, I guess notoriously people think, you know, the cattiness or whatever, but I didn't feel any of that. It was just a warm, supportive environment, and I was just,
exactly.
It was wonderful. But the thing is, the tone was set by the hosts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. It almost felt like it was a private event. It was invitation only.
Yeah.
And everyone who received the invitation showed up, and, you know, everyone was, like, willing to teach, and people were open and receptive to learning. It didn't matter if you were in the industry for 20 years or for 2 years. It could have been the person who was in the industry for 2 years teaching the person that was in the industry for 20. Everyone was just willing to share and just, you know, and willing to learn from one another. And that's what's needed in, you know, in the makeup community.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. The spirit of it was just the right tone. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let me just officially welcome you to the show, Eva. So thank you for joining us tonight. I know it was short notice, and I know you've been at the show all weekend long.
Man, short notice is the best notice for freelancers.
Yeah, really. And for those of you who are listening, if you want to join us in our chat room here on Blog Talk Radio, you can do so, but also you can join us on our tweet chat by using the hashtag Beauty Lounge. And you can get your questions and comments out there as well. And thank you for all those who are tuning in via the phone lines. I appreciate your support. Eva, why don't you start off by telling our listening audience a little bit about you, where you're from, how you got started in makeup, what inspired you to even become a makeup artist?
Okay. Well, let's see. I actually went to school. I went to school in Ohio at Ohio State, or the Ohio State University, as we like to use the. That's important. And I studied textiles and clothing, and I started out wanting to be a wardrobe stylist. So, I mean, even my internship, I went to New York between my junior and senior years and interned for a trade publication called Accessories. And when I first moved here, styling was what I was pursuing, but I also did makeup and modeling as well. So actually my first jobs, like full-time type of jobs, were as a makeup artist. And then when I could get styling gigs, you know, I picked those up, music videos, that kind of thing. But my first job, I worked for a company called American National Studios, and it was almost like a traveling glamour shop. And it was interesting. I lasted about 3 months at that because we would travel on the weekends for the most part. We'd take 3 and 4 day kind of weekend trips to different little teeny tiny towns in the southeast, and we would travel on these rickety vans that were about to break down. And they would send out salespeople ahead of them who would sign all these women up for these glamorous makeovers. And then we were like the B team. So we would go out and we'd set up in the mall and we would do their hair, their makeup, put these different types of fabrics wrapped around them looking like evening gowns, that kind of thing. And then they would take pictures. And sometimes we went to military bases. And it was basically kind of a put as much makeup on them as you possibly can, just make them transformed and different. So my makeup, the only makeup I really kind of knew was theatrical because I did take a theatrical makeup class while I was at Ohio State because that's what was offered. So everything was just, you know, appear to the middle of the audience. You didn't want to be up close to that. But it was fun. I learned a lot. I didn't know a lot of techniques I know now. I was kind of thinking about my makeup career, and the person who kind of took me under their wing after a little while of me doing makeup, her name was Bridget LaDonna Oliver, and she has passed on since. But she was very much of a mentor to me and taught me highlight and contour and everything, which I think every makeup artist needs to learn as far as their career and beauty and everything. And that's just something that a lot of times happens, you know, maybe a few years in, but if you, you know, get under the tutelage of some of these great teachers like a Gwyneth, then, of course, they work that into their instruction. But I didn't have that. So that came later. And then she got me into television news, and I started out in 1996 at a WAGA at Fox 5 and worked there for 7 years. And then she got me over to WXIA, and I was there simultaneously for 5 years doing morning and evening news. And I still work doing news, that kind of thing. But I've worked in films. I've worked on different shoots, a lot of different things. But mainly my bread and butter has come from television. And that has kind of been my makeup career. So that I celebrated 20 years as a pro in September. September 1st of 93 is when I moved to Atlanta, started work, and I've been going ever since.
Nice. Now, speaking of television news, you were the one who started me doing television news, and I had no idea about Bridget. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Bridget, she was amazing. She was such a sweet, sweet, wonderful woman. Love her. And I attribute a lot of how I got into television, you know, I attribute that to her. And I hounded Bridget because my girlfriend met her, and she was trying to recruit one of my girlfriends to do makeup. And she's like, I don't do makeup, but I have a friend who does. Bridget's kind of like, I don't know her. And she's like, Eva, just come to something. She's going to be at this thing, and come meet her. I'm like, okay. So I'm calling her and calling her and calling her, and she's turning me down and turning me down, and no. But I just was persistent. So she finally said, all right, so meet me at the station. It was like 5 a.m. or 4 something, and we'll see. So I met her a few times, and she started training me, and eventually she had to do something one morning, and she let me fill in, and the rest was history.
Wow.
So Bridget helped you get into news, too.
I was going to say, basically, Bridget helped me get into the news.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, everybody needs somebody who's going to take a chance on them and who's going to, you know, just pass the torch, you know?
Right, absolutely. Well, Eva, speaking of television news, what kind of advice would you give to someone starting out in makeup, who may be interested in doing television news? And to be honest with you, a lot of makeup artists out there aren't necessarily thinking that television news is even an area where they even use makeup artists.
Yeah, yeah.
So especially if they live in a market where, you know, Atlanta, of course, people here know about that, but in some areas they don't.
Well, you know, I am... Every so often I'll get a young makeup artist that'll, or somebody young in the career who will reach out to me, because I also was a co-author and contributing writer to a book called The Fab Job Guide to Become a Makeup Artist. And one thing that I talked about was just all of the different careers. And one thing I talked to women about, or makeup artists, aspiring artists about, is, you know, what kind of makeup artist do you want to be? Because depending on the types of sets you want to work on, that's going to kind of set the tone for the lifestyle you're going to have. If you're going to be traveling a lot, if it's something more steady, if it's something more sporadic, if you're going to be somebody's personal. I've been two different celebrity personals, and that is a different animal than from, say, a television news, where you know your set schedule. This is what it's going to be day after day after day. It's going to be this hours, you know. Sometimes even with the afternoon thing, because I had a split shift. I did morning, then I come back in the afternoon, and that can be challenging, say, if you want to book an all-day something, so you have to have good backup, you know. So you do really have to pass the torch on, as I kind of said earlier, and train others. But if you're in, say, a smaller market, you actually might have even more opportunity. Because the thing that was great about the mornings is it frees you up during the day. So say you are in a small market where you do have anchors and reporters and those types of people who don't have makeup, maybe the station isn't going to pay for it, However, it could be a bridge for you to get other work. So if you do want to put in the dedication, if you are hungry just to really get your career going, you might want to volunteer your services to those news anchors. If it is like they have to be there at 5 a.m., I mean, what else are you going to be doing but sleeping? If you really want to do this, I mean, they talk about building businesses in your garage on your off hours, and a lot of people think about that as, okay, when I get home from work, then I'll, you know, continue to work. But what about if you could do something before you even start your 9-to-5 job? Go in, do some faces, offer your services. Of course, you'll probably have to have some photos or something to demonstrate that you can do, you know, what needs to be done as far as being able to do a face for television that's going to be appropriate and look good on air and everything. But if you could build a rapport, you might have a better chance, say, in a smaller market than you would in a market like, you know, a top 10 market like Atlanta, where, you know, that's something that a lot of the budgets are accounted for as far as makeup is concerned. But even here, a lot of those budgets were eliminated during the recession. So there might even be room, and maybe I'm not sure, you know, all what's going on now, because I don't work on the local news level. I work more on the national news level at this point. But lots of times those women and men who are doing that need help, because you need good backup. I mean, you just do. I mean, that's what you were for me, Denise. You were, like, reliable, trustworthy, and you were capable. That was the thing.
Right.
I mean, I had young ladies who wanted to do it, but they weren't ready, you know. It's like you get them in and, you know, they do a little something and you're like, nah, you're not ready. And I'm just going to have these anchors mad at me. And when I come back, I'm going to have to hear about it. Why'd you send that person in? They did a terrible job. I had to go back and do my man. So you don't want to hear any of that. But you have to be ready. So you have to get the training. I mean, and it doesn't always come with, like, formal classes or esthetician school, although those are good undergirdings, because a lot of places that employ makeup artists, I know I heard CNN had changed their standards where they want you to be licensed. So, I mean, when I started out, that just, it wasn't heard of. I never thought about getting a license. But now I find that with some things I can be grandfathered in because I've been doing it so long, but now some of these starting out people, they want you to have that that official licensing. So, but being able to apprentice under somebody is a good thing. And that goes a long way, too. It just depends on, like I said, what type of makeup artist you want to be. You know, as a celebrity makeup artist, quote unquote, you know, those who, you know, do the singers and the actors and those kind of things, you know, they might, and being somebody's personal, they might not so much care. If you can do their face and they look good, then they're going to say, oh, I need you to hire such and such when I go do my thing. But that's going to require, you know, a lot of work on your part. And I recently got invited by a makeup artist, wonderful, wonderful woman out of Huntsville, Sylvia Smith. And I know she works in Atlanta a lot, but she did a class in Birmingham. And she invited me, and I went. And some of the young, there was like about 30 makeup artists there that were taking her class. And a lot of them were young and starting out, you know, been doing makeup 3 years or less. And this one young lady, I was amazed, Kim Colvin. She said, yeah, I get all my work from Instagram. And I'm like, how does that work? I'm on Instagram, but not like to get work. I'm on Instagram, like, you know, personally, and mine's like private and all this. And she's like, yeah, people see what I've done. And I'm like, wow, like that's the new thing, like, oh, my God, you can, like, become a pro makeup artist and get work from Instagram. That was just, like, blew my mind. But, I mean, I've made money from Facebook. So, I mean, I get it. However, it's just such a different platform. I just didn't know that you could kind of parlay it like that. So now sometimes I peruse and I look at some of the makeup artists, and there's some interesting, I like that adjective, there's some interesting things out there. I will say that. But there are some amazing makeup artists, and I'm just like, oh, wow, you know, it's pretty cool. So.
Right, right. But, you know, the funny thing about it is you know, you look on Instagram and you can see some of the, you know, some of the beautiful work that people are doing, but it's like it still doesn't tell you anything about that person's personality, you know. Like, they do great work, but, okay, if you were to show up on set, then what, you know,
yeah.
Because it's more than
yeah.
about the work, about the makeup
yeah.
work, you know, it's so much more involved. But
yeah.
going back to what you were talking about, you know, having someone reliable when you're at the news station, I mean, I remember when you turned Channel 11 over to me, I often ran into problems with people who, you know, they didn't want to accept the money that I was offering. And mm-hmm. we know how much that job paid. It wasn't much, you
mm-hmm.
know, but it was like they wanted the opportunity. But they were, but I mean, I think they kind of felt like they were supposed to make like, you know, $200 or $300 a day, or just that.
Just because they woke up early.
45 minutes, you know, because they woke up early. You know what I mean? And I never complained about how much money I was getting or
mm-hmm.
anything like. I mean, I appreciated the opportunity. I mean, it did so much for me. It did so much for my career that
mm-hmm.
I just appreciated the opportunity, and I just wished more. Makeup artists were like that. You know, I just wish more makeup artists
mm-hmm.
were just like, okay, I'm willing to do this just to get the opportunity. Like, where
yeah.
do you think we are as an industry now? Because we have the, you know, the Instagrams and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, makeup artists are just popping up everywhere. And I see all the time on Facebook and all these other places, people will post these things saying they don't work for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I think it's the spirit of a matter. I always tried to be very fair when I had people work under me and subcontract under me. I tried to always be very fair. I tried to balance out the opportunity with the level of experience that the person had as well.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was, like, say, for instance, my peer in makeup, like I saw them as more my peer rather than, say, like a protege or something like that,
mm-hmm.
I'd pay my peer, like, almost the same. Like, I might not even take a cut from a peer. It's just like, I know this is, like, so much less than what you normally make, and I just really need this favor because I'm double booked or whatever. Can you please do this for me? Whereas somebody that was an up-and-coming, you know, just trying to get into, say, that arena or getting into the
mm-hmm.
industry, it's almost like I will pay you fair, but I'm not, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're not making, you know, $100 an hour from this. And most of the young ladies that came up under me were very appreciative. So it could have been a time thing, too, you know, because different era. I left
yeah,
television
exactly.
news in 2002. You took over right from there. You know, there was some overlap because you were
mm-hmm.
working that for a while for
mm-hmm.
me, which was just a blessing. I didn't even think about it anymore when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about it anymore. It was almost like it didn't exist for me because you handled it so well and had it handled so well. But I haven't had many, the nature of what I do, I'm not always able to take someone with me, and
mm-hmm.
I've had another steady contract since then where I did have a few artists under me. I think I had 3 or 4 backups, and they were all very, very sweet girls, and they were all very thankful, and, you know, I try to be as gracious as I can with payment and fair and everything. So I fortunately have not had that experience. But going back to what you said about Instagram and knowing what type of personality and what type of energy they're going to bring to set, a lot of times I will look at, you know, I mean, if I'm looking, I can tell what type of person somebody is just from their captioning. And their comments
mm-hmm.
lots of times, you know. You can get an
mm-hmm.
inkling of if this is a positive, upbeat, spirited person. I have a young lady who's interning with me right now who moved from Tennessee in the last couple of months, and she's a godsend. She has the sweetest personality, but when I looked at her social media profile, I could tell from her
mm-hmm.
postings. I could feel what she felt, just her opinion on certain things, the way she expressed herself. It was professional. It was clever. It was, you know, but, I mean, she wasn't, you know, vulgar. She was always, you know, just
right.
like an upstanding young lady. So I think that's important because that person is going to kind of represent you, so to speak, when they fill in for you or when they're on set with you or whatever. And you can't always, it's not like you're going to be able to reprimand them right on set in front of whoever the client is. So it's good when you can just kind of know what you got to a certain degree and tweak from there as far as etiquette, set etiquette sometimes, because lots of times girls just don't know.
Yeah.
And you chalk it up to that. And I'm never hard on people. I just had to kind of tell a colleague of mine had to tell a young lady about something. And, you know, I followed up, and they called, they apologized, they talked to me, and they were just as sweet. And it was like I could hear their hearts. I knew it was just something they didn't know, not that they were trying to be malicious or anything like that. They just didn't know. And I think for us veteran artists who have been in it a while, it's great if we could, you know, share wisdom, you know, like that, and share it in a loving, uplifting way. We don't have to be
right.
nasty about anything. I've never wanted to be perceived that way, and I've never, you know, treated anyone that way. Now, I can be curt, but mainly when we're on set, sometimes time is of the essence. I think you can be curt and pleasant, you know, and loving, and
right.
no, I'm not attacking you personally. We just got to get this done, and that's not
right.
how we need to get it done right now. We need to switch this up, so whatever it is.
Right.
But I find myself in my I'm an indie filmmaker, too, so sometimes I have to hire a makeup artist to do something, and because I know makeup, it's just like, okay, look, this isn't working. We got to, you know. So it's been interesting just kind of switching roles now and again. Yeah.
Okay, Eva. So you've been working all these years,
yeah.
and all of a sudden there's this new product on the market, the makeup bullet. I've been seeing it, never knew you were behind it. What
That's
inspired
great.
You?
My social media is working.
What inspired you to create the makeup bullet?
Okay, so here's my makeup bullet story. I came up with this concept probably about 30, and it's so funny because when you say the story, it's the first time you say 10 years ago, and then you're like, I know a lot of time has passed since I've been doing this, so now
right.
it's 11, now it's 12. It was 12 or 13 years ago. I don't know. It was before the halfway mark of my career. And I was like, because I am a messy artist. I have stuff spread out everywhere, and if I pick up a powder, it might not land where I first set it out. It's going to land over here somewhere. The eyeshadow is going to be over there by the time I set it down, so I'm going to have stuff all over the place. And I am a sponge user. And it's so funny because I didn't realize some artists like to use brushes for everything, and I've just never been that chick. I don't use a foundation brush. I use, when I get a kit of brushes and it has a foundation brush in it, I always use that for powders. I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to use it for that, but I can use it for this. So I'm a sponge user, and I'm always, like, putting the sponge down while I'm working on the client, and it's like, okay, now I need to blend this at a different time after and come back to something. And I'm looking at my mess of a workspace like, okay, where did I set it? And it's like, okay. Or I'm working and I'm running back and forth to set or something, and I drop it. And I'm like, freak, okay, I can't pick that up and use it. So I said, you know, it would be great if I just had a sponge that just stayed on my finger, and then I just wouldn't have to look for it. I wouldn't be dropping it. And that was my idea. So I was like, I'm going to talk to a makeup artist friend who's a veteran in this longer than me and see what they think and see if they think it's a good idea. So I went to my friend and presented her with this idea. What do you think of this? And she said, and she said it like this. It's so funny. And I don't even know if she remembers exactly. She said, I vaguely remember saying that. She was like, I don't know if I would like that. And because this person who I just thought was the bee's knees and makeup was like, meh. I was like, well, she didn't think it's a great idea. Maybe it's not. So I put it down, put it away for a while, and then fast forward like, 7, 8, 9 years later, I was on a panel, makeup artist panel for Makeup Artists of Atlanta, and I was on panel with another lady who worked for a company that manufactures brushes. And I just asked her if she would mind having a sidebar conversation with me over coffee or something one day so I could run an idea by her that's been in me for a long time. So when I told her, she said, you know, Eva, I've been to makeup shows all over the world, and I've never seen anything like it. I think you need to hurry up and do this because you could be sitting on a gold mine. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just got to work on trying to find some way to get this thing made. So about a year later, I got a prototype made from a company and, you know, gave it to a few people to test, including my makeup artist friend that I went to at first. So she comes back and fills out her survey, and she says, I love it. How can I help? And she actually has been one of my biggest supporters and friends, and I'm so thankful for Miss Patrice Coleman. And she has a product on the market now called The Blot, and I'm so happy for her. And we just laugh because I'm like, the thing about it is the timing is right now. You know, I believe that the industry has been primed. There's a lot of different what they call blenders out now that people mm-hmm. are using, and all these different shapes and sizes. So I think that it made the industry a little more pliable for such a concept. And mm-hmm. I have been just, my heart has just been leaping for the past few months when we launched it in May through Alcone at the makeup show in New York, and they sold out. And then ever since then, I've been getting interest from all over. And it's just been amazing. So right now I'm just, you know, building, growing, and hoping to add more and more retailers and just get the word out. So I've been kind of a one-woman band on social media and, you know, kind of following people on Twitter and throwing things out on Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, when I saw you on Twitter, I was like, oh, I got to follow Denise. And, you know, so, you know. I've been trying to get the word out, and it's been going well.
So yeah, it looks like it's going pretty well.
Say it again?
I think we were both talking at the same time. I said it looks like it sold pretty well this weekend, and then my sister was asking what was some of the feedback.
Oh, well, you know, it's been kind of neat because I'd say the blog posts are picking up.
Mm-hmm.
I had two UK bloggers post last week. One did a written one, the first blog to come out of the UK. Cutest little girl ever. She's a 14-year-old little blogging sensation named Harriet. And she reviewed the makeup bullet. She had reached out to me on Twitter some months ago when I didn't have any product. Like when we sold out in New York, it was because the manufacturer made as much as they could, sent it to me. I was like, here, this is it. They sold it, and then it was a while before they got me any more. So I had all of these people, like, waiting for product. I mean, I had orders in the queue, PayPal, like, okay. I'm like, okay, as soon as they send me some more, I will get it to you. So then, like, after May, I think my next shipment was August. And so there was another lady. Her name is Chrissy Mia, and she's in London. And she reached out to me some months ago. She saw the makeup bullet, and she said, I think this is going to be huge, and I would love to be your UK representative or distributor or whatever I can do. So Chrissy has been helping me with the Twitter push and with social media push and helping trying to get some retailers in London and the UK area. So sent her a big package. She actually, it debuted at a it was called Shooting Beauty's Freelance Fair, which was last Tuesday. So last Tuesday it launched in London to where people could see it, and they had beauty experts and bloggers and things like that. So I had a couple of blogs come out of the UK, and then Alcone was in Toronto last week, and I had a beauty, they're called the beauty team out of Toronto. They'd reached out to me some months before, so they sent two reps to go to Alcone's booth to rep for me. and they had some retailers that were interested. So it's like retailers are seeing it, and they're like, hey, this is pretty cool. Beauty professionals, we were in Orlando, got some great blogs that came out. Some videos are online. If you go to YouTube and search for the Makeup Bullet, there's some great videos. I post videos every time I can, and I have more to post from people who've been giving me feedback. Like this weekend, there was one gentleman who's a makeup artist, and he said, you know what? He said, sometimes I'll come at somebody's face, and they're like, oh, did you wash your hands? You know, looking at me all crazy. He said, this is the perfect thing for somebody like that because they see it sanitary. I can rest. I'm not depositing oils on their face while I'm working, that kind of thing. So I see that people have different ways. One artist said, oh, I want to put three on my fingers and do different things with each one. And it's like, okay, sis, go for it. You know, let me know how that works out. Sylvia, yes, she's been using them in her classes. She had another class 2 weeks ago that she taught, and she just got a case of them for me from me wholesale. She's like, hey, I want to be a retailer. I'm like, cool. So, you know, some makeup artists are like, I would love to offer them to my clients. I think that'd be great. So I'm just elated that, you know, something that I feel was given to me by God, that somebody else, when somebody slips one on their finger and they go, oh, I'm like, I like that. That's great, because that's, you know, the epiphany I had as far as, man, I just need something that won't fall off, that I can run to set and I can hold my other tools, and it's right there, because I get scattered when I'm on set. The adrenaline gets high. I'm excited. I love being on set. And I don't know what I put where, but I know if I got that makeup bullet, I was on my finger. I'm good. So there's that.
I have somebody on our Facebook page who's saying, and I know you've mentioned your finger a couple of times, but she's saying, I've never seen this before. It's obviously a sponge, but I'm not sure about the hole in the base of the sponge, how does this work? So I tried to explain to her that it goes on your finger, but give a little detail about your sponge, the look of mm-hmm. it, how it was created, and mm-hmm. how you use it, even though you've kind of said you put it on your finger. But just kind of explain to the audience how you use it and why it's designed the way it is and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Well, the reason that I went ahead and went with the pointed tip was so that you really can do detail work with it, and also it's the perfect shape to get right under the corners of the eye. And as pros, lots of times we are working with highlighting and contouring, and you don't mm-hmm. want your highlight to run into where you put your contour, and you want to keep everything tight until you're ready to kind of do that finishing and blending of everything together. So the point makes it good to just kind of get in the corners. The hole itself, I played with my own fingers as far as, like, how deep does this need to be? You know, how much I wanted it to be long enough so that, you know, if it's just a one digit, then that's not secure enough. It can fall off while you're starting to wipe on somebody's face. Because I also, when I was vetting the different materials that I wanted, I sent in sample sponges to my manufacturers. I sent in varieties, like lots of varieties, and said, you know, I like this sponge for this texture. I don't like this about this, so don't send me any samples that are stiff like this, that are rigid like this, because there's a lot of sponges that are very, very dense, and it's almost like the product has to get in the sponge just a little for it to be pliable, for you to be able to work with it, but not so much that it absorbs all your product. So I needed just that happy medium with the cell structure. And because it's so amazing, I mean, some days, like I majored in textiles, so I knew a lot of the terminology from my chemistry classes in college that I was just like, wow, because we had to take chemistry of fabrication, of fabric, how fabric was made, how you clean it, the different terminology, surfactants, and all of this. So all of that, like, started to come together and come back. So when I was dealing with my manufacturers, they're like, oh, you know some of the terminology. I'm like, finally, you know, because I didn't have to use this for anything else. But designing the sponge was everything from the way that the sponge grabs, because I don't know if you've ever gotten, say, like a bag of, they sell some really cheap sponges that are almost like a little block. You might get 30 of them, and they're in just a block, and they're wedges, but they're practically made of, like, the foam that's from those, like, cheap mattresses. I mean, it's like the most horrible thing to touch ever, and I'm like, it doesn't grab the skin at all. I needed something that felt like latex but wasn't latex, because there's a lot of people with latex allergies. So it's a non-latex, it's hypoallergenic, but it has just enough grab in it that, you know, when you're working with somebody's skin, it's just not wiped, it's not just falling off the face, but it's able to kind of get in there and get your product in there and glide over the person's face just enough. There was just a lot that I was looking at. So with the depth of the hole, I wanted it to go on just as far to be able to stay stable, but not be, you know, sink you too far in there and envelop your whole finger. And, of course, you know, everybody's finger is going to be different. So, you know, trying to make it as one size fits all as I possibly could. And then what I do sometimes, too, is, and I have a video on YouTube where I'm actually doing my own face, and I did like a full just kind of day look. It was like 4 minutes and something. I don't know. And I used the makeup bullet. I just demonstrated it for, you know, my concealer, my powders, a little bit of a eyeshadow, like a smoky-ish eye. I used the tip, and I did like a kind of a smoked-out line or two, my blush. And then I bend my hand, and I can, you know, blend out the edges so that, you know, how sometimes if you're I don't know. Sometimes women get that line because they just don't quite blend, you know, all of their makeup down to where they need to blend it to. And especially if you're not using highlighting and contouring technique, because our face is so many different colors. I remember I took Sam Fine came in town for MAC, and he just talked about how, like, up by the forehead, he uses just such a darker, a deeper shade around there, that curvature of the head going into the hairline. But if you're using just your same color foundation all over, really, you're not going to get, you know, you're going to look just flat. So I always just kind of try to blend all the way to the edges. I have a darker tone on the outside just to kind of enhance that three-dimensional shape, and especially in working in television, which is the two-dimensional medium, you know, aside from 3D TV, I always try to build that dimension into faces. So I'll turn over the back of that sponge, bend it, use my knuckle to blend out my edges. So I use all sides of it. I use the point, I use the side, I use the back. And it's proved to be just an indispensable tool for me. I use it on my own face every day. And, of course, mine, I don't have to wash as often as the ones that I use on clients. And they tend to last. They last a long time. They really do.
What do you suggest cleansing the sponge with?
Well, and that's going to be partially my step two and three. There's cleansers out there that people formulate it for their own sponge lines or whatever. I do want to design a quick cleanse that I believe will be my next, because right now I'll just spray a little bit of brush cleaner on it. If I have to do like a quick disinfect, if I'm on set, it could be, I don't know if I've dropped it or if I'm using the same one on a different client, I'll spray brush cleaner on it. I'll squeeze it with a paper towel, get off the excess or whatever if I need to do that. Or just overnight cleaning, I'll just use like a mild either soap. Like I'll get the soap in my hand. Like I'll take a little ivory or something, get it in my hand. I don't necessarily wipe it on the sponge. Get some on my hand, or I'll use a little bit of mild dish detergent and squeeze the warm water and soap through the sponge to get the excess. And I just squeeze it. I don't do a lot of violent rubbing to it, because I have made it such a softer material. I'm more gentle with it, because I wouldn't want to trade that. Because I think even if it was a hard material, because of the design of it, the integrity is compromised a little more than, say, like a solid sponge, because it does have that hole in the middle. But I love just the soft pliability of it to be able to work on my clients. So so I'll just kind of squeeze it through and just let it dry overnight. So, you know, they come because I've catered to a makeup audience and the first release, they come three in a box because, you know, we're working on multiple faces. But feedback that I got in Toronto, I think there were a lot of women there that were just regular women coming to the beauty show. And they're like, I just need one. You know, I'm just going to be doing me. So now I'm working with my packaging company to come up with a single package that some of these stores that cater just to everyday women, because right now the stores that I'm in cater more to the pro community who want multiple. But I'm going to try to get into some of these retailers that are saying, hey, most of mine are everyday women, working women, on-the-go women. They just need the one for themselves, because if it's going to last them 3, 4, 5 months, you know, they don't necessarily want to stock up right now, which is fine.
Now, let me ask do you suggest using the sponge wet or dry?
I say you can use it wet or dry, damp or dry. I personally use mine dry, but I know a lot of people like to dampen and I had a blogger that just posted a wonderful video along with her blog where she was out of Orlando, and she did a thorough, like, I've been using this a month, here are the pros, here are the cons. And I can tell you she maybe had two cons, and she had a whole lot of pros. She said, as you can tell, I love this, but she liked using it damp. Because a lot of people like the lighter finish when they use their foundations. And if you use it damp, you do get a less concentrated finish. I personally, when I do my face, just like for an everyday thing, I don't use any liquid or cream products. I use powders. I'm very thankful that, you know, I don't have a lot of covering and things like that to do just on a daily basis. Some women have, you know, like darker circles, so they want a cream concealer that they could kind of put under there. Right now, still in my life, I can get away with just using a lighter colored powder underneath my eyes, and I'm fine. And I still go through with all of my highlighting and contouring just for even an everyday type of thing. But I do like a heavier coverage when I do it, so I use mine dry. When you use it wet, it's going to expand. So the hole is going to get a little looser. You're not going to have as snug of a fit. So depending on how big your fingers are, it might not fit as, you know, tight. So what I do if I use it wet, which I sometimes do on clients, is I'll just say if I have it on my middle finger, I'll stick my index finger on top of it just to keep it a little more secure, and I'll just go from there and dab or whatever I'm doing. Also, too, there is more chance to puncture or tear it when it's damp if you tug on it, like when you're trying to put it on your finger, and if you're tugging violently or if you're washing it violently, a little too rough, there's more chance. It's the material tends to be a lot stronger when it's wet or when it's dry, rather. So even in this process, working with my manufacturer, as I get feedback from artists and real women out there using it, to constantly just make improvements, you know? It's not like, it's done, that's it. No, let's find a better way. Let's see what we can do. And that's one thing I'm very thankful. It is made in the United States. The materials, the design, everything is done right here in the United States. So I have wonderful manufacturers who have been behind me and believe in the product and worked with me, because I can tell you I got a lot more no's than I got yeses when it came to finding a company that was willing to take time out of their million-dollar, you know, accounts to work with a small business, individual startup like me.
So we have someone on the phone line from the 661 area code that looks like they have either a question or a comment. So let's see here. Hello?
Hi. Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm Eugenia.
Hi, Eugenia.
I had a question. When you made your sponge, how did you make it to begin with? Did you carve it?
Well, hey, Eugenia. It's good to talk to you.
Hi, it's Eugenia Weston. Hi.
Hey, sweetheart.
Well, you know, what I did is my husband and I, we went to Home Depot, and I bought a Dremel. I had a foam manufacturer send me a sample block. I said, can you just send me some sample foam that I could play with and carve? So she, they sent me a sample block of foam, and I just bought a bunch of different tools. I think it was Michael's, and I got one of those hot wire foam cutters. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of went to work and, you know, just working with that little piece and shaping it as best I could. It was very crude, very ugly. I still have some of my little, you know, roughly done samples, but I just wanted to see as far as size and that kind of thing when I gave it to a manufacturer so I could say, hey, yeah, this is the size I want. Mm-hmm. I mean, I drew things, but who knows if that's going to work out in real life. And how it's going to fit on my finger.
I just didn't know if you made it out of like a latex or something you already had, you know, on set, and then you were just trying it that way.
Yeah.
But that's great. That's great. I really love when people like yourself create things out of a necessity, something that hasn't been done before. And it's so great with everything that's out there now, that's out here now, there is so much that you can come up with a very innovative new idea. So kudos to you.
Oh, sweetheart, thank you. I so appreciate that. I really, really do.
And Eva, just in case you didn't know, Eugenia Weston is a fabulous makeup artist who has her own cosmetics line, Senna Cosmetics.
Oh, that is amazing. Okay, so look, I'm the makeup bullet. On Twitter and on Instagram, please follow me so I can know who you are, and then let me follow you right back, sweetheart.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
This has been, yeah, thank you. I can't believe I haven't heard of the Makeup Bullet yet, so I'm excited to look it up and check it out.
Well, wonderful. And you know what? Just reach out to me, and I'll send you a sample.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, because I mean, I'm on set all the time, so I'll be loving to use it.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. So, great, continue. This is fun.
Girl talk.
Thank you, Eugenia.
Oh, thank you. Nice to meet you on this great channel.
Thank you.
So what's next? I mean, I know you said you wanted to create a cleaner, some type of cleanser for it.
Yeah, probably a couple cleansers.
Tell me a little bit about what makeup artists are saying about it. I mean, I know a lot of people have seen it. I've seen someone on our tweet chat showed a picture that they took a picture of it at the makeup show. People are fascinated with it when they see it. What are people saying? Because for me, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could do that because, you know, I'm not one to use my fingers. But listening to you talk about it and things that you can do with it, now I'm saying to myself, oh, I need to get more. So what are some of the makeup artists saying?
Well, you know, something that struck me that was so wonderful, and he's been so beautiful about this, Renny Vasquez. Renny, when he first saw it at the makeup show in New York, he was like, oh, my God. He said, this is genius. He was like, I need to introduce you to, and he was talking about Tatiana, Beat Face Honey. He said, you need to meet my friend. She needs to see this and all that. And I have yet to meet her. I would love to meet her. And then I saw Renny again in Orlando, gave him some samples. He shouted me out on Instagram with the stuff that he had brought back from Orlando. Danessa Myrick, she was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to use this. I'm looking forward to her feedback. There's a makeup artist out of Holland, but actually out of New York. He works out of New York, David Stella. And I met him because he was doing demonstrations and working at the makeup show in New York. Then I saw him again in Orlando, and he was doing demos, and I gave him one. And towards the end of the show, I came back. I was like, so what do you think? He's like, oh, my God. He's like, this was great. And then he did a little demo on me of what he did to his model, and it was great. And that's up on YouTube. And then I looked like a few days later, and he was like, okay, I'm packing up for a shoot. Here's what I'm packing. And he had, you know, hashtagged me and tagged me on Instagram, had it laying out with all of his other tools. So it has been really, really neat to be able to give something to my peers and the pro makeup community and artists that I admire. And I'm just like, you know, I've been at this a long time. I love learning from other artists. There are some amazing things happening out there. And, you know, there have been a few artists that have reached out to me. I've been sending them things. There's a guy he's out of Texas, on Instagram. I need to look him up. He did a post, and he's like, I'm on my way out. And he had the makeup bullet, and he was doing all this highlighting on himself. And right then and there, I got, like, 10 new followers. So it's just been amazing. Just, like, he was like, oh, I'm using this, and this has been amazing. You know, and it's so cool when you see something that came out of you and other people are like, I can utilize this. I have some that have said, how did I not have this before? Like, I need this in my life. This was what was missing. You know, that kind of stuff, you're like, oh, my God, like, oh, my God, that's such a great idea. I had one young lady, and I've actually heard this a few times. I heard it at PMAC this weekend. Why didn't I think of this? You know, this is so practical and, like, just such a natural transition. You know, and I have one young lady up on YouTube in one of my videos saying that. She was like, why didn't I think of this? This is just like, you know, I need to put it on my hand. So that's been kind of some of the reaction that I've been getting from artists. It's like, wow, this is pretty cool. So I'm excited to hear more feedback as they get used to using it, because to me, I was on my way to PMAC today, and I was just thinking about there are people who use their fingers and everything, but even with that, to slide something on your finger before you do your makeup and to work with it, you're almost retraining people's thinking about picking something up and putting it down and picking it up and then putting it down and looking for it and picking it up. And it's just like the people who have made the transition, it's almost like, and I'm a Mac user, so I kind of equated it as, you know, use the PC and go into a Mac, because people always go, oh, my God, it's user friendly. Like, how did I not use a Mac all my life? I mean, I love Apple. That's just like, I've always owned Macs. So I kind of see it as like the Mac of the sponge world to a certain degree, because it is so user-friendly, and you glide through application, and it's the most natural transition of just like, you know, having the mastery of just using your finger to do something. I mean, just like if you're making transactions now, say like on those iPads and people are using Square, and they'll say, sign here. You stick your finger out and you write. And you write your name, and you don't think about it. It's like the most natural thing. We never use our finger on paper anyway. We use a pen. We hold a pen, and we write our name. Yet the transition to just stick your index finger out and scribble your signature is natural. It's the same thing when you're doing your face. You're used to holding a sponge with, say, five fingers or however many fingers you hold that sponge with. But when you just slide it on one finger, your index, your middle, whichever one you choose, I usually use my middle finger to do makeup, you just stick it on there, and then you move all the other ones out of the way, and you can get right in there. It's the most natural transition. No training, no curve needed. It just happens. So, yeah. It's a retraining, but it's almost reverting to something that's just so natural. Everything else will be complicated after that.
Wow. I think you just summed it all up right there in that answer.
Oh, goodness.
Now, Brandon did a tweet chat, and she's wondering how she can purchase the sponge wholesale, but also she's wondering if your sponge is at, like, Nigel's or Nanny's or Friends in L.A.
Okay. Actually, I have talked to friends of Nigel's, and they desire to order. So hopefully that'll happen. I had actually in the last 3 weeks, though, just got to mass production. So I wasn't even able to fulfill a lot of the orders that I had up until like 3 weeks ago. So now I'm trying to catch up after coming out of the Orlando show and after coming out of PMAC, and I'll be going back to, you know, reach out to some of the retailers to say, hey, are you mad at me? You still want it? I know I had you waiting so long. So I'm looking for referrals, too, because there are a lot of course, like if you're talking about L.A., New York, they have their known makeup stores that everybody knows about. But there are some markets where there's pros where they shop for their pro supplies, and some of those places I don't know about, and I would love to get them there. So I'm constantly every day reaching out to retailers. It's like what one of my goals is, like, okay, I have to reach out to a new retailer every day. And sometimes that retailer might be overseas, or they might be like in Canada and Toronto. I had so much interest after that show, so now I'm trying to follow up with that. And just get to the point where I can actually, like, bring on help with this, because right now, you know, my family, my friends, you know, they come over, they pack with me. My girlfriend came over the other day, like, hey, you need help packing some boxes? I'm like, yeah. So I am offering wholesale rates to those who are beauty professionals even, not just stores, and they go by the case. They come in a case of 20 as far as the wholesale is concerned. I haven't, you know, I want to get it out. So right now I'm kind of flexible. Some of the makeup artists are like, well, you know, I can't, you know, get that many, but I would like some type of discount if possible. So, you know, maybe if they talk about they heard this interview, then I can, you know, maybe work out something with them that is a little more doable for their own budgets. But yeah, right now I'm just trying to get the word out, trying to get it into all the retailers. And here's one thing that I do know. If retailers start getting people that are, because I know I called one retailer, and they said, yeah, we've been getting some people in our store that have been asking for it. So I know if they keep hearing, hey, do you carry the makeup bullet? Do you carry it? Do you carry it? If these retailers are hearing that there's a demand for it, then once I maybe get around to making the call, like when I hear about them, or hopefully they'll start reaching out to me like, hey, can I carry it? And, you know, that's amazing, and that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, online, themakeupbullet.com, people can reach out to me, or themakeupbullet@gmail.com right now.
And then shout out your Twitter handle, Instagram, and Facebook mm-hmm. pages as well.
Yeah, I am The Makeup Bullet, all one word, on Twitter and on Instagram. And on Facebook, it would just be The Makeup Bullet, you know, to do the search with the spaces in it. And makeup, I spell all as one word for just the sake of aesthetics. You know, I used to be one of those makeup artists who would always hyphenate makeup. And for this, I was just like, you know, I just got to get away from that. It's just makeup, all one word. It's fine. The E and the U are together. It always used to bother me. But I'm conformed. It's all one. So, but The Makeup Bullet is Facebook, and all together for Twitter and Instagram.
And last question, what is beauty to you?
Okay, no, say it ain't so. Last question. I've enjoyed y'all so much.
Yeah, we enjoyed you too.
Man, I feel like I'm talking nonstop a mile a minute, though. I can get going.
Hey, when you love it, why not?
Man, I tell you. Okay, what is it? Last question.
What is beauty to you?
Woo! What is beauty? You know, I believe very much in inner beauty. That is one thing that I believe shines through to the outside. I really, really am not it's so interesting because I was kind of thinking about this as I was leaving PMAC as far as beauty and aesthetics and what people find attractive. And really, I do feel that beauty comes from the inside. people, I love people not because of what they look like. You know, I don't think people are beautiful because of what they look like. I think that when you have true beauty, it radiates and it comes out on the outside. And anything that you can do with makeup is just icing, you know. And if anybody knows me, I need to probably maybe, I don't know, get better about being a regular makeup wearer. I am the makeup artist who very infrequently wears makeup. Although when I do it, I do myself up. But on a regular, I remember I used to have a supervisor. I worked at a salon called Van Michael doing makeup. And she'd say, with Barbara, she'd say, okay, Eva, you're the makeup artist. You have to wear makeup. And I'm like, but why? I can do makeup great. And these people don't know what to expect when they get to me, you know. If I just paint my face, it's almost like, oh, she's going to do what she did on her. No. It's like, what? You never know what you're going to get. But I really believe it's an inner thing, you know. I don't want to be a shallow person, and I don't want to just cling to beautiful people, quote-unquote, the beautiful, because that's it's very empty. I love a wonderful personality and somebody I enjoy being around, and to me that's where beauty comes from. Beauty is God, you know, God shining through you. That's beautiful. And that is love, period.
Absolutely.
Love.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Just want to let you know there were some comments out there. They wanted me to tell you that your packaging is brilliant, and they love your taglines as well. They love the your other makeup tool will be jealous line. Just wanted to share that with you.
Great.
We're going to be watching the success of the Makeup Bullet. Great, great start. It was so good for me to finally meet you after all of these years. I know my sister has known you for years. And
I know, Denise.
I know, over the years.
Man,
and,
I heard
you know,
about you forever,
so
please.
Highly. I know, right?
Yes.
Before you were doing makeup,
right. I was so excited when you were both doing makeup. I'm like, man, there are some marketing geniuses. Women who are, like, ruling, and I watched your first videos, and I was just like, man, you sisters are doing it. I love it. I love it, and I love you guys. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you. I mean, this was amazing. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I just wanted to put it out there. I see that she's still on the line, but Eugenia, people in our chat room were like, wow, Eugenia Weston listens to the show. She called in.
That's me. That was me.
Yeah, I know. You and Brandy, we're all excited about that. So, Eugenia, I'm just throwing it out there. We've been wanting you to come on the show to talk about you and Seneca Aesthetics. So I'm putting the invitation out there, and hopefully.
Don't do it. I don't know how to do it.
So
you know what?
Yeah, Eugenia,
we just
please
give you the
email
call-in
me.
Phone number, and you just call in, and we talk.
Oh.
That's it.
The phone number.
That easy?
That's
okay, well, when, so are, do you
that's
want to email me?
Yeah,
or tell
yeah.
me now?
Okay, just give me your email, and we'll send your email.
EW@SennaCosmetics.com.
All
right.
Okay.
All right, we'll get you on because our listeners want to hear from you. You have a bunch of fans out there.
Oh, that is wonderful.
You. Thank you. I've been wanting to as well, and I wanted to listen tonight, and I really enjoy your show, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
And good luck
to
you, Missy, with the bullet. That's
fabulous. Oh, Eugenia, thank you, sweetheart. I've got a new friend in you, so I'm going to,
yes,
we need to
do.
Connect. Okay.
Yeah, we do. Well, okay. Thank you. Bye, you all.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye.
All right, have a nice
night. Bye.
Thank you again, Eva, and we'll be keeping in touch.
All right. Blessings, lady.
All right. Blessings.
Okay, have a great night. Have a good night. Get
bye. Bye, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
For those of you who enjoyed tonight's show, please go out here on Blog Talk Radio and mark it as a favorite. Leave us a comment on our Blog Talk Radio page, or you can jump on Facebook and leave us a comment on our Facebook page. It's Beauty Talk Online.
follow us on Twitter at beauty_talk and on Instagram at beauty_talk_media. We thank you for your continued support each and every Sunday night, and look out for our tweet chats that's going to happen randomly throughout the weeks. But our tweet chats are going to we're going to have some type of guest, like maybe a celeb guest or maybe an actress that we're working with or something like that that's going to join us. So each tweet chat is going to be, we're going to be joined with a by a guest. So it's kind of like an extension of what we're doing here on Sunday nights, but just something random throughout the week or the month that we're going to do. We've been talking about doing it for a long, long time and haven't done it, but now I've been invited to so many different tweet chats, I'm like, okay, we need to finally start doing our own like we talked about. So just stay tuned and look for that as well.
And actually, one of the very first ones that I would like to do, because I got into a conversation tonight at the Professional Makeup Artist Conference here in Atlanta with a blogger, Ren Ren, and another young lady that was working with Alcone, and we were talking about just women in makeup and self-esteem and how, a lot of women are using makeup to kind of cover up, we know women may have blemishes and things like that. So I understand, wanting to cover the blemishes up or whatever, but I was saying that just coming from being an esthetician and talking about skin, I like to see when women actually treat the problem that they're covering. And I think that goes so much deeper than skin and blemishes. And so I just want to kind of maybe possibly have a tweet chat where we talk about some of those issues, not just about skin, but about self-esteem and self-worth and things like that. And I do actually have a guest in mind to join us for that. So just look out for that. That may be one of our first tweet chats.
And also, just want to remind those who are listening who live in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, or if you guys know anyone that live in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, please let them know that on December 14th, Illusions Cosmetics is hosting their a holiday glam event in Charlotte, and we'll be posting specific details about that later, but we're hosting a holiday glam event, and it's the first stop on our beauty tour for our 2013-2014 beauty tour. That's how Charlotte is our first stop. It's being hosted by none other than Beauty Talk Online Radio, as well as makeup blogger Ren Ren. So join us and look for us in a city near you. So until next week, have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.